This is the Safety Scouting Report with your host, Scott Cafe. Welcome into the Safety Scouting Report. My name is Scott Cafe. I am your host. This show is Toolbox Talks for Safety Professionals, where we go over new stuff, make some reminders, talk about key points that every safety professional should know. If you're new to the safety profession, hopefully this stuff helps you get a grip on some of the stuff that we're trying to do. And if you're an OG, maybe it's just a quick reminder, a quick way to go over some stuff and pull some stuff from the back of your mind up to the front. If you would like to get in touch with us here at the show, send an email to safetyscoutingreport@gmail.com. This is episode 8, and I decided to take a brief sabbatical, at least for this week, from the Hazards 101 series and talk about something else that's kind of near and dear to my heart. Within the last month or so, I made the same post on Facebook and LinkedIn regarding a couple words that are supremely important to safety professionals, as well as everyone else. Let me read you the post, and it's very brief. The most powerful word is no. The most important word is why. These two points came up specifically in new hire orientation, hazard identification, and incident investigation classes that I've taught, but they're actually everyday truths. And I believe that. The most powerful word in any language is no. Most important word in any language is why. Let's talk about no first from a safety perspective. And we're going to go for refusing hazardous work. That's really what this episode is about. So all workers have the right, or to me, responsibility, to refuse hazardous work, to say no. And it's also the law. Several times during my career as a safety compliance officer, I came upon workers either on a roof or down in a trench, and they were in there with no protection, no shoring in the trench. They were up on the roof with absolutely no fall protection. And I would ask them, why? Why were you up there without the basic protections that can save your life in these obviously hazardous situations? And the response was generally something along the lines of, well, my boss told me to, or it's my job, I have to. And I get it. It's not just peer pressure. It's a job. If you are one of those folks, if you're a contractor, if you're a worker, people take pride in their work and take pride in doing the job that they have been trained to do. And I don't think it's just a toughness thing or anything like that. We tend to do that. We want to get the job done, but not at the cost of your own life and not putting your own life at risk. From OSHA's website, your right to refuse to do a task is protected if all the following conditions are met. Ready for this? There are four of them that OSHA lists. Where possible, you have asked the employer to eliminate the danger and the employer failed to do so. So let's say you are working on a forklift and you notice during your pre-shift check that the brakes are soft. You've marked it on your pre-shift checklist. You've told your supervisor and they said, it's fine, we can get by for a few days, just go ahead and drive the truck. What are you going to do? Me? My background in the industry? I'm saying no. I'm not going to take a chance with my life or a pedestrian's life if they walk out from a blind corner in front of me and I can't panic stop because the brakes are soft. I'm not taking that risk. So that's what that point's about. The second point is, you refuse to work in good faith. This means you must genuinely believe that there is an imminent danger that exists. So are you going to go down into that 10-foot deep trench to install the water line, or are you going to wait for the trench box to get there? Me, I'm waiting for the trench box to get there. You have to. You don't go down in there because you can't tell. You can never tell for sure. And that's the good faith. It's an unguarded trench. It's 10 feet deep. You know the OSHA standard. 4 feet, you've got to have a competent person. 5 feet, you've got to have protection. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's the law. Fourth point for refusing hazardous work from OSHA's website. A reasonable person would agree that there is a real danger of death or serious injury. The trench is pretty obvious. And if you're unsure, call your local fire department. Because here's the thing. If that trench collapses, they're the ones who are going to have to come out and do the rescue or recovery. And unfortunately, that's typically recovery. So calling OSHA, yeah, is a good idea, but the time it would take to get a compliance officer on site could be hours. And that hazard is going to continue to exist. And even if you say no, your coworkers may go down in there. Call your local fire department. Ask them about it. Chances are they're going to come out and take a look and talk to your supervisor and get in between you. Fourth point, there isn't enough time due to the urgency of the hazard to get it corrected through regular enforcement channels, such as requesting an OSHA inspection. And OSHA has different types of inspections. You can file a complaint. That'll take a little while to get through the system. You can also call in an imminent danger situation. And even if an imminent danger is called in, it's still going to take a while to get the compliance officer there. Your local emergency services, your fire department, are probably going to get there quicker. You should take the following steps. This is again from the OSHA website. Ask your employer to correct the hazard or assign other work. Good. Tell your employer that you won't perform the work unless and until the hazard is corrected, and remain at the work site until you're ordered to leave by your employer. So basically, all it's saying is if you see a hazardous situation, you ask for it to be corrected. You don't have to do it as long as it's something a reasonable person would agree is potentially hazardous, and you don't just leave. So you can't just use this as a get out of work free card. Like, that looks kind of dangerous, so I'm going to tell you I think it's dangerous, and then I'm going to go home because I got other stuff to do. You can't do that. That's not part of it. But if you believe there is a hazard, tell your employer you can and you should refuse to do that work, try and get it mitigated, and stay there. So here's the other thing that comes about with those type of situations as kind of a counterpoint. I have had people in private industry think that there's a hazard. And because we all know the OSHA standards can be a little bit difficult to understand, they can be a little bit difficult to read and kind of glean the true meaning of. And hazards sometimes, if you don't have a lot of experience, can be hard to identify. I've had situations where an employee thought something was hazardous. I get called to the scene, and there's really nothing wrong. Any hazards are adequately mitigated or abated. Everything's good, and it was a misunderstanding. But that's where the second word, why, comes in, and we'll talk about that more in a few minutes. The other thing I wanted to go through was the actual legalese, and because I'm in Kentucky, I pulled the actual Kentucky law that states that employees have the right to refuse work. It is 803 KAR 2:220, section 2, and part 1 states, if an employee is confronted with a choice between not performing assigned tasks or being subjected to death, serious injury, or illness arising from a dangerous condition at the workplace, the employee may refuse in good faith to expose herself or himself to the dangerous condition. There you have it. That's law. You have the right, I call it a responsibility, to not expose yourself to hazardous situations. And everything else that we just talked about from the OSHA website is also lined out in parts 2, 3, 4, and 5 of 803 KAR 2:220, section 2. But it all stems from that. If there is a hazardous situation at your job site, at your factory, wherever you happen to be, you have the right to refuse that work as a worker. And as safety professionals, we have to understand that, because most of the time, the majority of the time, We're going to be the gatekeepers. We're going to be the ones that look at the complaint, look at the situation, and based on our knowledge, experience, our competence, we're the subject matter experts here. We're going to be the ones to determine whether there is an actual hazard, and if so, stand by the employee every time. Don't let somebody push anybody around and force them to work in a hazardous situation. You just can't do that. And that leads to the most important word, which is why. Why always matters. For example, why would you refuse to accept or conduct hazardous or dangerous work? Why? Because you don't want to put yourself in that situation. You don't want to expose yourself to hazards. But explaining why is always key. When I conducted investigations and found violations as a compliance officer or hazards in private industry, I always tried to explain why, tried to give background. Education and training isn't just the other side of the OSHA coin from compliance. It's part of everything that any safety professional should be doing, is explaining why. The more people understand about what we do, the better off we all are. From incident investigations and 5-why processes to general understanding, why is always a key, because why can get you a vested interest. Why gets buy-in. Why explains things. If people understand why we're asking them to do something, why we're asking them to wear PPE, why we've got certain work instructions and administrative guarding procedures, things like that, it always matters. And don't go in with a pointed finger, go in with a curious mind. Or if you're a fan of Ted Lasso, think about the darts game episode and remind yourself to be curious, not judgmental, which, by the way, is not a Walt Whitman quote, but that's something for a whole different podcast. Until next time, this has been the Safety Scouting Report. My name is Scott Kafe. We'll catch you next time. So good as I'm choking.